Welcome to the game.
It's a beautiful thing.
With Mark Duffield.
By golly gosh.
The son of a darkened shearer and a self-described ball-playing jack-of-all-trades.
We shouldn't be surprised, should we?
Who lit up footy fields in the southwest before becoming WA's preeminent AFL scribe.
My goodness.
And Glenn Quarterman.
Wow-wee.
A proud Victorian parked permanently in the west who would have played 300 AFL games if not for his incredibly small hands.
Goodness gracious me.
Together, they are Duff and Quarters.
You know who.
And this is your favourite footy podcast.
It's unbelievable.
Well, welcome to the Duff and Quarters podcast. Duff's still away, fishing down in Esperance, probably having a couple of cold swan lagers, but fortunately with me is Golden Tonsils, Mark Reddings, ready for another week of football commentary. How are you, Skeet?
I'm terrific, Quarters. Great to be with you. And Josh Gallup, our extraordinaire producer. It's a bye week for our WA clubs, but there's still a fair bit bubbling around. And what we do know is when there's a bye on, and a lot of clubs are going through it at the moment, we either see internal reviews, we see all sorts of issues happening on the periphery in terms of off the field, and that's happening at a few clubs at the moment. But I guess the big focus point today, and there's a fair degree of focus on it, and rightfully so, could it be a game-changer AFL tribunal hearing this afternoon our time?
It will, may be, Skeet. Of course, this podcast is brought to you by Tab Touch. Please gamble responsibly and call the Gambler's Helpline if you run into any difficulties. 1800 858 858 is the number. Tonight, I think, will be a game changer. The David McKay case. Had a very fascinating chat with Brett Farmer, son of Polly, yesterday, ran in today's West. Brett, farmers don't speak very often, Skeet, no. But when they do, it resonates. And it was a good one. I like particularly his line in that we've now got to start treating footballers not as opposition but as fellow footballers. I found that really interesting. He's not saying scale down the intensity. What he's saying is those loose ground balls – if it's accidental head contact, then you should be punished for it. I guess the real question tonight is, by the letter of the law, he could get off. But the AFL, obviously by referring it directly to the tribunal, are going to argue, and I think it says, regardless of what McKay did, he still contravened the general prohibition on unreasonable contact, including contesting the ball. So Adelaide will argue it the other way.
I disagree as well with that. I just think, and look, let's be honest, Hunter Clark, 6 to 8 weeks out. We know the injuries that have been sustained because of it. But I think if he gets suspended tonight, it'll bring absolute confusion for players as to what they should go for, what they shouldn't, in terms of what they do when the ball is a live ball, for instance, with you and I approaching it at great speed.
It's going to change. They will legislate. The confusion will be until, if they don't legislate immediately, then there will be mass confusion. What we'll get to is a stop, prop and tackle situation rather than an acceleration at your opponent. I think we're still going to see the running with the flight of the footy marks, provided there's no intent, like you're not sticking a knee into someone's head deliberately or you're not putting the studs up, i.e. Toby Green, I think we'll still see those high marks. We're going to lose that fabric of the game, but I think losing a certain fabric of the game against, even if it's a 10% reduction in serious head injuries, I think it's well worth pursuing.
Yeah, so I like to try and compare these types of incidents and this type of controversy with normal life. And so, for instance, if you, Quarters, go through a red light unintentionally and you don't hit a vehicle, you'll probably get snapped and fined by the police. It might be a couple hundred dollars, etc. If you do the same thing accidentally going through a red light, you crash into a car and you cause damage to the occupants, the penalties are going to be a lot higher, aren't they?
Yeah.
So the accident is still there. It's still unintentional. It's the consequence that we're going at the moment. So irrespective of those two players on the weekend going for the footy, if Hunter Clark isn't injured, this is maybe a play on call.
Or if it goes the other way, what if McKay was injured and had a fractured jaw? Because then it would be a case of, see, the way I looked at it, absolutely had intent for the contact, for the ball, but he did turn, as you're taught to, turning on your side to protect yourself.
Exactly.
But he, in doing so, did make contact with the head and the consequences of the contact. So I'm saying if you make contact with the head and you've, and it's foreseeable, which in this instance it was, you're going to have to pay the price. I think the AFL will go down that path. So I think we will see a clear change in the way the game is played for those loose balls on the ground. I think that's going to happen. Fascination is whether they will usher it in tonight.
Yeah, well, and I think, look, from the top of my head, I don't know who's on the tribunal this evening, but Wayne Henwood, Richard Loveridge used to be on there.
I think he still is.
David Neates, perhaps. Yeah. Anyway, those are the types of players or ex-players. That's a, it's a difficult one for them because their whole upbringing, their whole careers have been based around that's a great contest. The wording of what the AFL has put to them now needs to be really broken down to the point where does, and I wouldn't be surprised, Adelaide's will bring in every heavy hitter they could.
Yeah, it's going to be a long tribunal
hearing. It's going to be a really tricky one. And look, Quarters, here's the question. If he's found guilty, he's not going to get a week, is he? It's going to be 3 weeks or beyond because he, it's like saying you can't be half pregnant. It's a yes or a no.
It's a 3 week minimum if he's found guilty. So it could be more than that. We're not sure. It's going to be a really long tribunal hearing. Reminds me of one in the 90s when I was working for the Herald Sun and it was went all hours of the night and we had to call pizzas in. All the journos were waiting outside. They had to, that was part of it was in camera.
So no surprise that the pizzas got, I'm surprised there were.
But we had to call them in through the MCG gate, the boom gate. They used to come in. It was a very funny night. Someone ordered a vegetarian one. They weren't popular at all, I can tell you. But nevertheless, we digress as usual.
Anyway, I think it'll be a sad night for footy if he gets a 4 or 5 week penalty. Oh, that's my
humble
opinion.
I'm not so sure it's a sad night. I don't think it's sad for footy because I think we need, we're now at the point we've got more information. We didn't have this information 20, 30 years ago when you and I, let's face it, mate, I used to go to the footy hoping for an all-in brawl. No, I used to hope for an all-in brawl with haymakers thrown. I used to love watching it. But times have changed. We've now got more information. We've now got much more information about the effect of head trauma. So with that information, we have to act. And it's not just about us and our viewing of it. It's about the future generation.
Should we be wearing helmets then? Should
every helmets don't necessarily do any. They don't mitigate concussion. Because concussion is the shaking of the violent shaking of the head and the brain moving around. What headgear does is if you've got if you're susceptible to head fractures or something, it will protect the head, the skull as such, but it doesn't mitigate concussion. Really, headgear. I think what we'll see is a change of the game. There's still going to be contact. There's still going to be incidental contact.
But don't no accidents. You cannot allow accidents if he's found guilty tonight.
No,
accidents are out the window for good.
They are.
And I think that is a sad time.
Well,
it is, I think it's sad because if everyone has accidents. Your kids have accidents. Mm-hmm. My kids have had accidents. As part of a sport, you almost know that's, you know, a contact sport particularly, mm-hmm. that is a consequence of what we've, we play the game we play.
Well, that's what we have been brought up on, and that's what we love.
That's
but
what
we're
going
to have to change. We're going to have to, mate, because this is we're talking.
Should we stop tackling?
No. There's an art to tackling, and you can execute a tackle.
I just think we are going down a very dangerous path when it comes to a competitive contact sport. Mm-hmm. If McKay goes tonight,
yeah. We may well be.
But
I'm also saying if we're protecting the head of future generations of footballers, I'll give you an example. Steve Mortimer. You won't get a tougher NRL player than Steve Mortimer.
Of course.
Represented his state, represented his country, and just decorated at club level. He is suffering from dementia, and he has been on the phone. Now, Peter Vlanders has copped a lot of flack over the clampdown on head high hits in rugby league.
Yep.
So they're sin bin now. And there's been a lot of drama about it. There was even, you know, concerns that players were deliberately milking so that they could get opponents sin bin, right? So they've been working through that. He's copped a lot of flak. He has been steadfast, as he normally is, in saying, no, contact to the head has always been outlawed. We're just administering it now. And you can, if you don't like it, see you later. This is what's happening. Steve Mortimer got on the phone to him. Now, no one is more old school than Steve Mortimer, but he got on the phone to him and said, do not back down. I want you to go full bore at this because I don't want future generations of NRL players or league players, full stop, suffering what I'm going through right now. I'm just saying at some point in time, we've got to get to the point where we realise how important protecting the head is. Maybe above the very fabric of the game, but if that's what it takes, so be it.
Yeah, well, I'm interested to see what players have to say about it as well, because they're the,
well, they'll hate
they're,
it.
They're the custodians at the moment to try and implement these rules, which I think at times are very – it's easy to write them down, but then to execute – gee, it's tough. The sling tackle,
it
for one.
Really
it's
tough.
Really tough. It's really tough. And I feel sorry for players, even with the sling tackle sometimes at the moment, which, it's a very fine line. We're talking about slow motions, replays. Your argument is totally on the money with regards to long-term health quarters, but I'm talking about also what we know as our great game, but also the players. How tough is it for them to try and put
really,
in a place?
It's ridiculously tough for players and umpires to officiate. My goodness, how difficult for umpires at the moment. But you know what? They're well remunerated, mate. They're just going to have to go through this period. And I think the next crop coming through, hopefully it'll be a little bit clearer. Because to be honest, mate, this has been murky as hell for about 10 years or probably longer. It's been a reactionary process by the AFL. At least Steve Hocking looks like he's got on the front foot with this one. And we'll see where it goes from here. Be fascinating when we talk next Tuesday.
Yeah, exactly. And look, there'll be a lot of fallout from tonight's hearing, whether he's guilty, David McKay, or even given a reprieve.
Well done on your tipping last week, I should say.
Yeah, it's funny that I just know that I picked Adelaide to beat.
You know.
No, I don't, because I'm not sure what a draw constitutes. So Adelaide got them up, Richmond beaten by the Eagles, which helped me, and what was the other one, Geelong?
Everyone missed Hawthorn, Sydney.
Yeah, which is fine. Yeah. It puts me back in the mix, but, it's only Geelong's a team that's really got me thinking at the moment as to which side is going to be awfully tough to beat in September if they keep their list together.
A bit of other stuff happening now. Collingwood, it looks like the gentleman who got the petition together for an extraordinary general meeting has been
cold feet,
talked down from the shelf.
He's got
so
cold feet. David Hadley,
from the ledge,
who's decided not to press ahead with the extraordinary general meeting, which by and large would have been a call for Geoffrey Brown to come in and replace the president, Mark Corder, and of course the board potentially to go as well in entirety or in part. So it's interesting. I think Paul Le Courier might have had a chat to him along with the current president, and so Hadley said, "Now you know what? We don't want to interrupt the search for a coach with this type of distraction." It was a convenient argument, I thought.
It was. Look, now it's going to be an annual general meeting in December, three director spots up for grabs. So I think we'll wait and see now what Geoff Brown's agenda is, because at the moment there's still none.
But let me say this. If Collingwood finishes, and they're going to make it really tough for themselves with Darcy Moore missing for the rest of the year or De Goey missing the Fremantle game at least.
Probably need to drop a few, let's be honest.
Well, in terms of what they do off the field with presidency, et cetera, the board, if they have a decent run of success on the field, does that change what happens at the end of the season with Brown and Corder?
Well, no, I don't think so.
If they lose every game from here on in.
I reckon if you're a Collingwood supporter right now, you sort of put the cue in the rack in terms of finals, and you're thinking, as much as I don't like losing or finishing near the bottom, and they won't finish near the bottom. They'll probably be a bit better than that now, but you probably want early draft picks. I think that's where we're at now. If you don't make finals, you're sort of looking at that. And they've got Nick Dacos, who everyone rates as the best player in the pool. Now that's to be proven, of course, but certainly he's a top end talent. So they're going to go okay. Really interesting times for them.
I would have thought Robert Harvey would be one who'd be hoping they could actually finish with
a
flurry.
Well, of course he would, but I guess he's been a part of that club for some time too. So if he knows, do you reckon right now he'd realistically know I'm not a chance, or do you think he'd think I can prove myself here?
You'd have to go with the latter, wouldn't you? I mean, if you've got any ambition to be a senior coach, you'd have to be thinking I can find something from this group, win a batch of matches, and instead of being an afterthought, be right in the conversation when the interviews come, be it for Michael Voss or for Sam Mitchell or whoever they go searching and chatting to. He should be at least part of that conversation, given he's doing what he's doing
now. Yeah, well, let's see how he goes. Let's see how he goes. Another review at St Kilda.
Holy dooly. Matt Finnis, Simon Lethley. Now, I think the fans today at some point are going to be able to send their questions in and ask questions to the power brokers.
They've certainly removed their halos and they're using them for frisbee practice at the moment, aren't they?
It's been just terrific. And the fallout from the Seb Ross, Tim Membry, absence continues.
So what's your view on that one?
Oh, I've got no issue at all.
No, I don't.
No issue. I mean,
so is that the first game Seb Ross has missed in many, many seasons, I'm sure.
Is that right? Yeah, I'm unaware of
it's also,
that.
When you look at the circumstances, I think we talk about head injuries. We're also talking about mental health, family situations, and I think we've come a long way in the last 10 years when it comes to 10 years ago, if you missed a game of footy because your partner was giving birth, you would be laughed out of the room. Now it's as it should be. Okay, accepted. Of course you're going to do that. It's a very special part of a moment in your life that you want to be there. In Seb Ross's case, I think it's the twins, isn't it?
Yep.
So you know about twins. Yeah, I mean, it's difficult.
He's got three under the age of, I think, four or something. So that's unless you've been in that space, it's very difficult. But let's go to another sport and think cricket. If going back to the 90s, if, for instance, one of the players, Shane Warne, whoever was having a child back in Australia, you weren't going to miss an Ashes test for that. So all that's changed now in all the sports. So that's a blessing in disguise. But back to St Kilda, you wonder, as I said before, the Western Bulldogs beaten by the Saints in the final last year, where they've headed after 2020 and the Saints. I think one player stands out for me as being almost symptomatic of, you know, he's traded into the club, high-profile player, he's managed to play 13 games in 2.5 years. I refer to Dan Hannabry.
Yeah.
Gun of a footballer at his peak.
Mm-hmm.
But did they pick up a bloke that was just about cooked in terms of his body? He looked a bit that way at Sydney. And now they've spent big money on getting him to the Saints. Hasn't given them much. It's almost symptomatic of...
It is symptomatic. I raised my eyebrows when they picked Hannabry, because I thought he was pretty well cooked when he at his latter years at Sydney. The other one is Bradley Hill. Now, I know he's an easy target, but the thing about Bradley Hill is we all know he is a wonderful player as the icing on the cake. He's not your extractor. He is the guy on the outside. Hawthorn's list, perfect example. Did okay at Freo, won a best and fairest, but he wasn't the same player that he was at Hawthorn amid a lot of stars there. So I think paying top end dollar for him was another big mistake. They've made some whoppers, St Kilda. I think they've got a good coach, but I think as Duff said last week, I mean, they don't look right now like they're playing the four quarters for him.
The culture is always something I wonder with St Kilda, and that's not in a, you know, you can say that when they're struggling.
I always laugh when you talk about St Kilda culture and I think of the old Moorabbin days and Redheads nightclub up the top. But anyway.
No, well, that was part of the DNA of St Kilda.
Part of the DNA of footy.
Absolutely. I mean, that was that social club, which I was too young to even, I heard about it, but that's about it. That was what drove those St Kilda players in the day. They've come close and painfully close so many times, but I have questioned their strategy in just going down the path of trading in good players, not superstars, and at the expense of maybe getting better results in the draft.
They've got a lot of B graders. Yeah. A lot of B graders. Yeah. There's one A grader in Jack Steele. There's another one in the making, I think, in Rowan Marshall.
Yep.
And they've got some B pluses, but they've got not enough A graders. That's my opinion.
Something missing from them at the moment,
isn't there? Reviews worry me. Because generally they start with the outcome already decided. Now, I know it won't be Ratton. He's too new there, but, you know, they've got some...
Well, Carlton are doing the same thing. Yeah. We know Matthew Pavlich involved and they've got others.
Mm.
It's funny, the mid-season review, that just doesn't sit well. You think if you're a football supporter, we're not going great. If you've got a mid-season review, and a lot of clubs do it, but these two clubs, particularly Carlton and St Kilda, you think they're just not quite there at the moment. Hopefully they can find a result.
Carlton, to me, they're closer.
Yeah.
I could almost envisage Carlton doing a Melbourne next year or the year after. Because I think the squad is there. Curnow's going to be important. But I can't see that at St Kilda. I can see them almost getting there. But I just can't see them following through. I think Carlton, for me, has got a lot more upside.
Yeah, I don't trust Carlton with what they've done so far this year.
Not so far, you don't, but they could pop like Melbourne has.
Yeah, absolutely. But I've seen nothing to suggest, at least Melbourne 2 years ago.
Is that fascinating too? Melbourne, take care of all the top end sides and lose to the strugglers.
Yeah, look, that wasn't a huge surprise given the emotion of Buckley on Monday.
Huge surprise to me.
Well, no, when Buckley resigned, it's amazing that the coincidence of coaches who are on their way out or last game, they find a yard or two. And
maybe it's the SCG too.
Yeah.
Maybe the shape of the ground did help.
Melbourne would much prefer that game at the MCG.
Oh, yeah. If that's at the MCG, they're winning that game.
Would have thought so.
Yeah.
As much as it's Collingwood's home ground as well.
Now, a bit of local. Yep. So we've got, the first thing, we've got Willie Rioli returning to the club on Sunday. So we'll have a plethora, no doubt, of journos, cameramen and women, and there'll be, I don't know what access we're going to get, but look, we hope that he gets enough in his tank that he's able to play some footy at the elite level later in the year, whether he has one or two games in the waffle, whether he's straight back in. Probably not straight back in. Although,
got to play waffle. Has to play waffle. I think
pretty August, good at conditioning these days.
Yeah, but August 21, Claremont, they've got late in the season, I think. And let's be honest, they are starting to get their list back together at the right time.
Well, I couldn't have come at a better time either.
No, totally. And you know what? They got the result against Richmond.
Which they wanted the bye last week.
Well, because they would have been able to play this Thursday, for instance, or whatever it was going to be.
It was Thursday, yeah.
With some great names. And look, Luke Shuey plays his first game back this weekend for West Coast against Subiaco on the Waffle. Jeremy McGovern looks like he'll come back for the Dogs. So too Brad Shepherd, Tim Kelly in the mix. It's a fairly ominous sight for the Western Bulldogs, who are going to be, I think, camped in Sydney for the best part of the next week, coming across here. Very good side. But, the West Coast Eagles.
And Shuey playing for West Coast in the Waffle, so there'll be a few turn up for that one. Fingers crossed, toes, everything crossed that he gets through.
He'll do 50, 60 minutes, I would have thought, or whatever's required. Just the one game for Luke, I would have thought.
You look at the way they've incrementally, with Elliot Yeo, the way he's incrementally found form. And first week better, the second, and really, 10, 11 possessions, seven or eight of them contested in the last quarter against Richmond, a pretty good side, albeit a pretty tired side, I think, in the last quarter of Richmond. But you're right, they're building something, and it's come at a great time for them. And with Shuey still there playing waffle this weekend, a lot of optimism, I think, for West Coast, as there probably is at Freo. Right now, as we sit, given GWS' best footy this year has been the best outside the eight, but right now they're a little unreliable, drawing to North Melbourne. I think while they get the 2 points, they're going to look back on that and say, oh,
should have won that.
Fingernail away from the eight. Freo right now, I reckon, are the best situated to climb in.
I don't think they will, but I agree with you that they are the best place with Fife to return after break, Tabiner, Logue. Look, they'll probably get a few more who'll bob up. Pierce hopefully stays sound. So there's a bit to like. They've got Collingwood after the break.
Great game from Pierce last week.
It was fantastic.
How do you come in after so long with a big job as he had on King and just play with so much poise?
Yep. No, he was terrific and just needs to keep putting matches together. But you're right. The Dockers have got Collingwood. So Robert Harvey, first game in charge. There'll be, I would have thought, a bit of an emotional letdown for the Magpies. So they're a chance. They've got a decent run over the next few weeks. If they are to be a sneaky hope of making the eight, now is probably a great time to have that reset and go after the bye. Pies, MCG. They'll be pretty keen to get across there.
Now, we better go through some tips before we get onto our juicy topic of the week and before we get onto some emails from our fans all over the world. Friday night, tomorrow night, GMHBA Stadium, first game of round 14. Geelong, $1.62 on Tab Touch. Western Bulldogs, $2.30. 7,000 spectators, Skeeter, allowed into GMHBA. It's regional Victoria. Now, there's some hope that maybe there'll be reduced crowds the following week. So round 15, I think there's big games at the MCG and Marvel Stadium on the Saturday and the Sunday, but let's assume at this point it's not going to happen that quickly. But good to see 7,000 there. You know what I reckon? I reckon even with no people, GMHBA still represents a huge advantage to Geelong. We know it's long and skinny. We know they play the ground well. Now, in round 11 or 12, can't remember, I think it was round 11, Melbourne Western Bulldogs. How did the Melbourne dismantle the Western Bulldogs? We know they play that handball game and they like to get it back into the corridor. So Melbourne just cut off that avenue and they were sort of left floundering a bit. It's easier to do that at Cadinia Park, and Geelong do it well. You cut off that corridor, you're pushed out wide, there's a lot of out of bounds on the full and there's a lot of tackles boundary side. So it happens there and you get lost. You run out of space on that ground. So I'm fascinated to see how the Western Bulldogs can not only play Geelong, that's humming beautifully at the moment, but play the ground. I'm going to pick Geelong.
Yeah, Geelong has won its past 14 matches against the Bulldogs at home. In fact, they've probably won a whole heap of matches in a row against so many sides who visited the Cattery. For those reasons, the ground just suits them so well. I've loved Jeremy Cameron's form. He's just starting to...
And it's lifted other players. Gary Rowan, Tom Hawkins has done really well to adapt. And
down back, Tom Stewart's just been outstanding for them.
All Australian. Lock him in.
He's terrific. So off the back of that, look, the midfield of the Bulldogs, very good. But...
I reckon they're missing Treloar and they're missing Dunkley.
Yep, no, and it's only two players, but it just adds to their depth. So Geelong, I think, at home, you're always loath to tip against them down there. They're such a well-drilled side. So, yeah, we'll go with the Cats first up on Friday night.
Saturday, Metricon Stadium, 11:45 a.m. our tide. Gold Coast, $3.10. Port Adelaide, $1.37. Gold Coast... possibly get Sam Collins back with that ankle injury, but they may err on the side of the caution and not play him. Port Adelaide, big in for them. Scott Lysett comes back after that four-week suspension. They've looked a bit indifferent, Port Adelaide, and it is a travel, but I'm pretty comfortable in picking them.
Yeah, you have to, don't you? Look, Took Miller's been one of the better players for the Gold Coast, probably leading their F&B as we speak.
Would have to be.
He's been outstanding for them, but he's... it just hasn't had the support. And the Gold Coast Suns, on paper, the young talent they have, just hasn't translated into enough for me this season. They were so poor against Fremantle. I tipped Fremantle, but I thought they should have been winning that Gold Coast with the side they had in. So even at home, Port Adelaide, you're right, they've got the wobbly wheels on at the moment, but this might be the game to maybe regain their mojo. And we do know they are flat-track bullies this year because they don't get beaten by sides down the bottom, and they don't have any success against the teams at the top. So even though it's away, they should be winning this.
There's a lot of talk too about Gold Coast. Part of their struggle is maybe some flexibility in the soft cap to allow them to get some support around Stuart Dew. That's the worry at Gold Coast at the moment. So keep your eyes and ears peeled for that one if there's some relaxation of the soft cap. Hobart, Saturday, 2:35 p.m. at North Melbourne, $5, Skeeter, v Brisbane, $1.17. For me, North Melbourne, who I think get Tarrant back, they're going to need him because you look at Hipwood, you look at Danaher, you look at Cameron, you look at McStay. It's a multi-pronged forward line that Brisbane has. They'll miss Zorko, who's out for a week with suspension, but I think Jared Berry's a chance to come back. Brisbane, $1.17 for a reason. While I'm tempted by the $5 skeet, I'm not having a crack at it. I think Brisbane get this one done pretty easily.
You would have thought so. North Melbourne, they do their credit, and David Nobles, they are showing incremental improvement through the year. And that's all you can ask from a team such as North. Interesting, Hobart, it's going to be 12 degrees.
Always.
Some showers in the morning.
You're not doing a duff on me, are you? You're not going to bag Hobart.
No, I love Hobart's a beautiful spot. But for a team like Brisbane, that you know they enjoy this
the
time of year.
Brisbane weather.
Vegas, going up to the Gabba and that sunshine on your back on a June afternoon. It's going to be a bit colder in Hobart. Yep. That being said, Brisbane's going to be far too good, I would have thought, for North Melbourne. But it's all attitudinal. If they go down there thinking they're just going to walk away with the points, I think they'll have a good look at that GWS game to make them realise that North Melbourne is better and getting better week by week for Brisbane.
So I reckon we're going to differ on this next one. GWS v Carlton at Giants Stadium, 5:25 p.m. Saturday night. GWS coming off that draw with North Melbourne. Josh Kelly just in sublime form. Had a little slow start to the year, but really finding touch now. A player who may force his way back in is Jake Riccardi. Now, he's sort of in and out of this team, but I'm a big fan of Jake Riccardi. And when he goes back to the reserves, he's kicked 8 goals last week. So
and also last year, I think, I remember him playing against the Dockers at Optus, and I thought, gee, the only Riccardi I remember wore number 15 for Geelong, and he was a midfielder and a wingman who played in those 1990 games for the Cats. But this Riccardi, he's got a really big upside. So, yeah, I always find it strange when I see
him. Peter Riccardi it was.
Yes, of course. Yeah, Peter Riccardi, the curly blonde, curly dark hair. No, this Riccardi's got a lot to offer. I'm always surprised when I see him not in the team.
Yeah, same. $1.64 GWS. Carlton, $2.25. Now,
you said we're going to differ on this. How?
Well, Mackay and Newman, I think they were concussion victims 2 weeks ago, but they've had the bye, so they're back. I'm really big on the bye at the moment. Teams coming back from the bye are showing really good form and enjoying the rest at this stage of the season.
So
Hawthorn, a great case in point last week, beating Sydney after the bye. I'm picking the Blues. I'm going for a bit of an upset. 2:25. Didn't like GWS last week. I'm a bit anti the big mummy at the moment, but that's nothing to do with the result, but I'm just a bit off him at the moment. I think he's just being a bit of a bully. But I'm going to pick Carlton in an upset here, and I know you're going the Giants because you do not like the Blues.
Hello, Newman, as they say. Yeah, he's back. And no, I'm not tipping Carlton. I cannot trust them. They, to me, are a team that, not far from St Kilda, have not shown anything to suggest they are heading in the right direction this year. Now look, they've got so many good players to come back into that side now. Kurnow and Mackay's re-signed.
2-year contract.
Yeah,
good,
fantastic. Yeah, terrific. So they've got talent there, but the trust level's very low. And I think you might have a point with the bye, but the Giants, I think, playing better football. You'd have to agree with that. And Carlton, they don't win all that often away from home. So I'm sticking with the Giants.
Final game Sunday, Launceston. Beautiful. If you think it's cold,
been Lonnie, I've
a little bit
there.
Warmer. It's a little bit further north, but I've been to Lonnie plenty of times.
Yeah.
In fact, that's where I was walking down the main street.
At what time in the morning?
No, it was about 1 o'clock in the afternoon, and one of the locals said, hot enough for you? And I was actually wearing a jumper, and I said, no. No, it's not. It's actually very cold. So there are different folk down there, but I love it, mate. I've walked all over the joint. Anyway, Hawthorn v Essendon. Hawthorn 245, Essendon 156. Warple a big out for Hawthorn with that sling tackle suspension, which was an interesting one, falling back as he swung him, but I think deserved the week.
Loved Newcomb last week.
Newcomb was good, wasn't he? Beauty, yeah, Nuke.
And he just, I think he laid something like 14 tackles.
He did.
It was fantastic.
It's not a record. 19 is the record. And as Carl Langdon pointed out last week, one more than I laid against, I think Carl laid 13 against Carlton one day.
Yeah, well, I think it was also pointed out to Matthew Lloyd in his first dozen games, he laid one tackle, so, or something to that
extent. Not his job to tackle.
He said that. So it was that, but that's a different era. But no, it looks some nice signs from Hawthorn, and I think Clarko will maybe pick and choose when to get the boys revved up. But
in the boxing ring.
A Hawks, well, yeah, that as well. But as a Hawks supporter, you must think, okay, this year's done. But if we show those signs intermittently between now and the end of the year, well, we'll take that.
And yet it's the first time in my life as a Hawthorn supporter I've thought I don't mind dropping a few. But I don't want to drop them against Essendon.
No. So does that
I don't like Essendon.
So?
No. I'm picking the Bombers. I think their form's better. I think their strengths are greater at the moment. I think they're more advanced than Hawthorn. Launceston will test them.
Yeah, absolutely.
And Hawthorn know the ground well. But I look back to that round one, 1 point loss when they were 30 plus points up Essendon and Hawthorn reeled them in. As great as it was for me, I'm sure they haven't forgotten it. I'm expecting a bit of payback on Sunday, so I'm picking the Bombers.
I tipped the Bombers in round one. I think they were 40 points up at one stage. Yep. And I thought, well, I'll just
almost turned the telly off, Skeet.
I changed the station to another game and I thought, well, this will be a nice start to my footy tipping. And then I watched as the Bombers completely capitulated to the Hawks and got up by a point. So I'm tipping Essendon this time. Again, the Launceston factor shouldn't be discounted. This game's at Marvel. I think it could have been a 6 or 7 goal win to the Bombers. But I think it'll be tight, and I think the Bombers just.
Now, you're feeling thirsty, Skeet?
Always thirsty with your quarters.
It's now time for the Feral Biggie Juice Juicy Topping of the Week, brought to you by Thirsty Camel Bottle Shops. Cue Barry White.
It was all a dream.
Juicy topic of the week.
We just had an email question your reference to Barry White. Do you know that's actually Biggie Smalls, not Barry White?
I didn't know that.
Think
it sounds
Barry White?
Like Barry White. No, it just sounds like him.
This is Notorious B.I.G. There you go. Anyway, a bit of
sounds like it.
I never thought it was Barry White. I saw you taking the Mickey.
No.
All right.
Just go with it, Scott.
Proceed.
Just go with it. You've thrown me now.
Doesn't sound anything like him, actually, now you think of it.
Yes, it does. Trolling, Skeet. Trolling. Have you ever been the victim of it?
Look, to be honest with you, I've had a couple of people on Twitter have a go. I don't involve myself in social media that much.
Mm-hmm.
So it doesn't, but I'll be honest with you. When you put something out there, nothing controversial, and someone comes back and basically smashes you, you think, oh, I didn't like that. That hurt a bit. Most of them, most of them don't put a name to their Twitter account. It's all very anonymous. So, but I feel for those that like to engage and have that conversation with others on there, but then get abused, whether it's there's racial, there's sexist, there's all sorts of stuff. I think, Why? Why do you need? You know why? Because they can get away with it.
A lot of them have pointless lies, and they just need. They like they're bullies and they're cowards, and they just like to get on there and have their say.
Well, I think they're more cowards and bullies.
We're a bit of both, probably. Yeah. You know, fortunately, there's government legislation in the pipeline where it will become. There will be criminal charges placed if you do transgress the laws, as they will become. So that's good news, I think we'll be able to not only reveal the trollers, but we'll be able to actually punish them.
So we know that the likes of, say, Liam Ryan, Paddy Ryder, I mean, Oscar Allen recently. Yep. I mean, you can go through poor old Eddie Betts. There's been so many, and a lot of them Indigenous players or identities. So what's the advice?
Some of the
for
Indigenous stuff is just it is just brainless.
What's your advice? Now, a lot of young men footballers, be they.
My advice is I wouldn't be on it.
I know.
I know that hurts us in the media because we love the interaction in the media.
But so do people that age.
I wouldn't if I was an elite sports person. I wouldn't be on it.
And a lot aren't. But I'm saying if you're a 19, 20 year old footballer,
well, you want to be on it.
That's the way they communicate now. So what is if they're on there? Do you not look? Do you not post? Do you just look? I mean, and some engage. I mean, it's a difficult one, but
you probably post and don't engage. You certainly don't engage because what can you achieve from engaging with someone with that level of intelligence?
Well, they're telling lies or they're saying something that you think is either racist or...
Well, it is. A lot of it is just racist or sex. It's just pointless and brainless. So you can't engage with that.
So footy clubs, essentially, I think they have these educational classes, like they do with drugs, et cetera. So I think you're right. The easiest way is just to not go on social media, but we know that's not possible. Nick Natanui, he uses it regularly and gets
In a really positive way. He's a really good example how you can use it in a positive way. It just concerns me that the space – so this is a great step, I think, forward by the government, and I applaud them for it.
Absolutely. No, there's no question about that. And footballers, I mean, I've seen, you know, guys, you know, and I like to have a multi as much as the next bloke, but getting online and abusing a bloke because he went off injured or missed a goal, I think, what is wrong with you? But that is where I mean, jockeys have been absolutely subjected to it for a long time because of the gambling aspect to it. So, I think it's great that we should, as I say, name and shame if it gets to the point where it crosses the line.
Well, now it's time for our favourite time of the week.
When you control the mail, you control information.
Hello, Newman.
Josh's mailbag.
Hey, guys. How you going?
We're well.
Oh, it's good. I've ate my breakfast or...
No, we've seen you eat your breakfast. It's nice to come in here and just do some work.
He was fueling up before he came in here, and I thought, I wonder if he's going to bring in any food today. But no, he didn't. Although he might have a little stash of... Samantha, who's co-producing in here, has he got any jelly beans or lolly snakes? Or
no, anything? Nothing yet.
He's been pretty quiet, actually, Josh, during this last 45. I'm just hoping you're okay heading into it. Are you a bit tired, fatigued, you need the bye or not? You're looking for a break?
I'm all right. Break from you, maybe.
Hello, Mrs. Reddings.
Right. Howard actually found it quite funny, the Tuesday pod, but didn't quite find funny your understanding of the Southeast Asian region. Saying like bringing up the spring roll, it was a bit of fun how he's brought up. Saying you've thought the spring roll is from Japan, it's actually originated in China. And he said maybe golden tonsils should stick to footy. Well,
now, fair call, and I take that on board. There was nothing intended in a derogatory tone to Southeast Asia, but
perhaps you're just not an Epicurean. You're not a connoisseur.
Do Japanese not have spring rolls? That's a serious question. Now
in an Australian version of an Asian restaurant, like depending on which cuisine, my local Vietnamese does spring rolls. A lot of them do. I love Vietnamese,
but I'm asking the question: when you go to a Japanese restaurant, do they serve spring rolls?
I can't recall eating a spring
roll.
Listen, I don't want to get into it. You've dug this grave for yourself.
I've put some wasabi on my topic, have I?
Yes, I love a bit of wasabi. Okay, moving on to actually footy questions.
Thanks, Josh.
Really good question here from Sam Reid, our man over in Sydney.
The Sam Reid.
If Simpson was to finish up with the Eagles at the end of his contract, would they look for a second coach like Buckley or someone in the essence of Hearn or Kennedy, a former player that they would train through? Do you think
who was likely? Well, for a start, I think I'm not sure if Josh Kennedy has indicated he wants to go down that pathway.
I don't think Hearn is either. I think Hearn would be most likely to go back and work on his farm, his family's farm in the South
Buckley,
Australian.
Possibly. I don't think. So Simpson right now is contracted for another year or two, but I think they're looking at if they haven't already, an extension to that. So I don't think we're going to be seeing any movement for 3, 4, 5 years with Adam Simpson. He's a long-term coach.
I think he'll end up being the longest-serving coach at the West Coast Eagles. That's saying something. Mick Malthouse, I'm trying to think. He started 1990, finished...
He was 10 years.
10 years. So I think Simpson will comfortably go past Mick Malthouse. He's a good man manager. He's got a premiership, which always puts plenty of points in the bank.
Yep.
Well-liked in footy circles.
And a grand final loss as well, and regular finals.
Absolutely. So and you know what? He's part of a well-resourced, well-supported club. So if you're going down that path in terms of a question, in 5, 6 years, I mean, Dean Cox, if you're looking at that type of person who's going to come back and potentially have that experience, a favourite son like Dean Cox, if he's got the attributes and he's got the experience, absolutely.
But it's a good question because I think Nathan Buckley will see him coaching, but I think it'll be about another couple of years
and
away.
Not here. I think
he'll need a refresh, look away, have a look at the game from an outside perspective.
Chill for a bit, get a media role for a year maybe, then just wait.
Possibly. And then because he's very polished in the media.
Yep.
And he was before he was coaching. So I think he will do that. He'll do a bit of a Ross Lyon, perhaps.
He might chew up some of the salary cap at Seven West over the next year or two and just and do the job that he's so good at. That's talking footy.
Oh, cool. So it's a pay reduction for me. Great. all right, now, moving to Nick from Richmond, Virginia. A recently discovered footy via the Amazon documentary Making Their Mark. So he's not an expat over there. He's a full convert.
Mm-hmm.
As someone who is new to AFL and footy in general, any suggestions on what to watch or things to possibly do in order to learn more about the game? Also, I'm still on the fence on which team to follow. Can you make a convincing argument each way?
Well, I'll go to start with.
Take your time, please.
It's quite obvious. Where does this person live again?
Richmond, Virginia.
Full stop. Done. Richmond. You got a bat for the tie. It's an easy one.
Yeah, you probably do that.
Neutral one.
Enough on the tie at the moment.
If you're looking for a connection, that's the obvious one.
It's over at the moment. You know, I'll tell you a funny story about there's a football league in Canada. It's one of they have quite a flourishing league in Canada.
My hometown.
I read a funny story. I was actually conceived in Niagara Falls, Canadian side too, Skeet.
So
you didn't know that about me, did you?
Well, I was born 11 pounds over there.
So. Metaphor too. My life's been downhill ever since. But no, I was conceived at Niagara Falls Motel. There you go.
Must have been
is
Canadian
that the story?
Side weekend away.
Some
no, the story is there's a Canadian Football League and a guy and you know, while they are sort of aware of the rules, a lot of the terminology they weren't. And a guy's got the ball on the wing and he's running and his teammate's saying you're hot. He turned around and smiled and got tackled.
Yeah, the terminology does get them.
I'd watch a bit of the commentary. Certainly, if you want to understand the rules, you're going to be pretty confused.
Good luck, yeah. Imagine if you jump in a taxi, you've arrived from LA or somewhere, and you're trying to even listen on the radio, think, what is going on here?
Because sometimes, we've been following footy for 40 years plus, and sometimes you look at a decision and someone asks you, what was that for? And you can't answer because you just don't know.
But yeah, absorb as many footy shows, if you like, as possible.
I'd go back into a bit of history too. Have a look at some games from, say, 20, 30 years ago and compare how the game's changed. It's certainly a lot faster. Certain elements of the game, there's more defensive techniques involved now. So I'd be doing that. I'd be comparing eras.
And if you want to really just go back to maybe the 1984 VFL Grand Final, just to give you that sense of what a comeback is like.
Don't watch 84. don't watch that game. No.
It was a good last quarter by the Bombers against your
horrible,
boss.
Horrible, horrible day.
We've got that many emails. We had 20 over the last 24 hours or so. So thank you for everyone emailing in. We'll try and get through them with these guys.
20?
Any more stories. Not going through 20, but we'll get through what we can. Let's go now to Adam from Collie. Just a quick one while I find the next one. Skeet, where does the name
sound
Skeet?
Effects?
Oh, good point. Sorry, now we have to do it. Burnout landed as usual.
Collie fake. Josh is doing this, not us.
Where does the name Skeet come from?
I'll keep it brief. Michael Thompson and I worked together at Channel 9 and we used to muck around in the sports department and ABC used to have a round the groundsman and one of them was Sam Newman, believe it or not. Might have been Swan Mackay and there was a guy called Skeeter Coughlin who did a lot of round the grounds. So you'd remember.
Of course I do.
Yeah. So essentially we'd muck around and I'd say, yeah, Sam Newman at Cadinia Park. He'd say Geelong 4-2, Carlton 1-3. Then he'd throw to me and go, okay, up at Moorabbin, Skeeter Coughlin, it's St Kilda and Collingwood. And I'd go, thank you, Sam. It's 4-2-1-6. And so Skeeter. So it stuck.
Why Skeeter though? Where does that come?
Skeeter Coughlin.
That was his, the Skeeter Coughlin, Skeeter's, that was his nickname, the Around the Groundsman. And so for some reason, that stuck. You don't get choices with nicknames at times, Josh.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, you have to you're labelled with a name, and you, as much as you try to just dismiss it, it just sticks to you like a fly in summer. Just you can't get rid of it, and that's why Skeeter's there. Nothing to do with anything illegal or any untoward activity I've partaken in over the years. Unfortunately, it's just stuck. Skeeter, ready.
What's your nickname, Quarters?
Oh, gee. Boom, boom, boom.
Really had to go outside the square
King,
for that.
There goes another rip.
Oh, right, there you go. No, I was actually asking if you had any other one amongst friends. Okay.
I do. Pom. They call me Pom, my mates in Melbourne.
Oh, really? Because you came back with an English
and Chimpy.
Accent.
Chimpy was my nickname as a footballer.
How come?
Courageous, like Bob Skilton, I think. Nicknamed after Bob Skilton. I don't know.
Okay.
That's just what they call me.
Murph from Utah. Not often a contributor, but being listening to the long-time listener to this, and from Salt Lake City, Utah. I thought it'd be assist with the international trend. Originally from Perth, south of the river, and a Freo fan from way back, I thought I'd send a couple random questions. I'm not smart enough to come up with any intricate ones myself. Who would you consider the best and worst TV commentators? There's none like Dennis Committee, but there are a few that really do my head in. Who are your thoughts of the current ones?
By the way, I think
greetings
should be keeping
me.
You on the Utah Jazz.
Yes.
Are they won? No, it's deep into the third quarter. Tight game. Obviously, two games apiece in those NBA playoffs between the Clippers and the
– Yeah, sorry, that is, yes.
Two games apiece, yeah. Utah down by a couple, but a good series against the Clippers.
Philly dropped one at home too today.
Yeah.
They'll be very unhappy, those Philadelphia supporters.
Massively so. I'm trying to think. Look, I think Anthony Hudson's a very,
very,
very good caller.
Yeah, he is.
Dennis speaks – we all know Dennis's attributes over the years. I think Hutto's, for me, the standout caller that I listen to and think he picks the moment. I think Adam Papalia does a very good job locally. I think in the end of the day, Quarters, when you're calling a game of footy on TV, if you can A, get the names right, B, not make it too blokey, which seems to be a criticism of some commentary teams. Call the game. Yeah, just call the game. Don't talk too much as well. If you can not just blabber for 2.5 hours nonstop, yeah, there's a balance that has to be, and you'd like to try and come up with a couple of nice one-liners, but without being forced, it's a fine line you walk. But yeah, there's some, as I said, over the years, we can go back to, you know, when it's Graham, Smokey Dawson, we can go back through the journey. Bruce was great in his pinnacle.
Yeah, he was very good.
So there's lots of decent calls.
Harry Beitzel, Tommy Leif. Are you there, Harry?
Rex Hunt, even in his own inimitable way, was
although
outstanding.
Although, Rexy, I loved him for entertainment, but sometimes
you
turn on 3AW and I had no idea where the ball was on the ground, who was leading, or who had the footy.
No.
And Jack Dyer, the late, great Jack Dyer, got away with not calling names for 30 years. Used to be the big fella, taps it down to the little fella. The little fella runs along, bounces. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. That being said, I mean, look, listening to guys like James Brayshaw and BT, I mean, it just evolves through the years. And
there's a lot of energy associated with it now. I mean, there was energy in yesteryear. I loved listening to Lou Richards back in the day.
Yeah, of course.
Because he was part of the – growing up, you associate him, you know, with your teenage years and what have you, listening to him, Peter Landy, those guys.
Ian Robertson, but I thought was good.
Ian Robertson was a terrific caller.
But again, that's going back a fair way. So, there's
– I'll give you a plug. My brother went all right too. Stephen called
absolutely.
Some pretty good grand finals.
See you, brother.
Yes, Josh, we had this discussion.
All right, cool.
Next one.
This one, quick one. Martin Cole, hi, Josh. Can you? How do the fellas go have won it both ways? They say there should be helmets in the boxing ring, but there's also the conversation that helmets actually don't help with the concussion.
We just had this conversation earlier.
I'm not advocating helmets playing footy because, as Quarter said, the research shows it doesn't in our game.
It certainly helps you not if you're a kid who's growing up. You can be pretty fragile around the skull area. I don't have any problem with junior footballers wearing helmets.
Even Phil Narkel, you think of Basil Campbell going back to the local competition, wore helmets. Trying to think in the VFL who wore helmets. I mean, Jason Dunstall wore one after he was had his skull crushed. So there are certain cases. No, I don't think we're advocating helmets for players now, but just trying to work out how there's a reduction in concussion and head trauma. And I think
you've got to change the rules.
Well, that's probably the only way because there's no other way to protect. We know in the NFL there's still concussion, even with the helmets.
Yeah, but they've adapted the training, they've adapted the games. A lot of the training techniques are different now in the NFL. So,
Thank you very much. Good email. Howard now. Oh, no, we've already done Howard. There's one. There was a good one right in front of me. Oh, okay. This one's good for Skate, who's been watching a fair bit of it, and anything you also can add, Quarters, would be fantastic.
Oh, well, I'm out. I'll just sit back and listen to Skate.
No.
No problem. I'm
just a Johnny. All right. He's all upset.
Is he a little bit prima donnished?
My God, star value. Chris from Perth, who will be selected the number one at pick one for the 2021 draft? Also, who are the first WA players to be selected? My gut feeling are the three academy players in Jake Van Ruin from Claremont, Matt Johnson, and Jack Williams will be very, very high up there. What do you guys think on that?
Well, I can tell you now, I've seen a bit of Van Ruin. I saw him last week play for Claremont in the Colts. He's a really good player, a tall forward who, I guess if there's one knock on his game, is he has to work a bit harder, and that's a lot of players at that age. But he's going to be taken in the draft without question in my mind. Just a question of where he ends up. Look, I didn't see the likes of Aaron Norton at the same age or, for instance, Logan McDonald, just to give you a couple of examples. But I think Van Ruin's got enough tools to be a selection guaranteed at the end of the season. Matt Johnson's played some league footy, by the way, as we've seen for Subiaco. Like the way he's developed, saw him at Colts last season. And Jack Williams at East Fremantle, a lot to like about what he provides as well. But I think Van Ruin of that group, from what I've seen, and look, recruiters will have a far better knowledge of and background on what they've done recently. He's the standout for me.
Well, if I'm allowed to comment on this, I'm not sure if I am.
Of course you can, Glenn.
As far as interstate goes, we spoke earlier about Nick Dacos, Oakley Chargers, son off, and we've seen his brother doing great things, Josh, at Collingwood right now. The kid from South Australia everyone's talking about is Jason Horn, 182 centimetres, playing for South Adelaide. Watch out for him. He's going to be top three, if not first pick. A really, really exciting prospect.
Yep. So, of those three, I get to commentate the PSA and the Colts, Josh. So there's a lot out there. And actually, it's interesting trying to work out, you dominate at this level. There's a guy called Luke Brown. He's a really tall forward, very slender, takes some marks, kicks goals. But the question is, could he adapt to the next level? So all these little question marks. And there's a guy called Gus Sheldrick, who's a gun player at PSA level.
Dominating, isn't he?
Dominating. He's a real bull. But again, I think, well, could he go to the next level and play, obviously, regular league and then AFL? Most possibly. But there are recruiters who will say to you, no, yes, no, with little attributes that they look for. So, yeah, the beauty is in the eye of the beholder at times when it comes to young players.
I always look for the headline names too. We love draft day because of the headlines. Arlo Draper, midfielder from South Adelaide also. Arlo, I can't recall having another Arlo Draper. Right. Neil Erasmus, I think you mentioned earlier.
Great overhead,
Josh,
Mark.
Josh Sinn from Sandringham. There's a good headline name. So hopefully he gets drafted. Tyler Sonsi is another one.
There's a lot of key forwards that we've been looking at over the last couple of weeks. And speaking to Jordan McCarter, our sort of draft expert, it was Jack Bullier. He had the game-sealing goal against Will Schofield for Claremont on Saturday. He's a 19-year-old. He's doing pretty well. Jai Amos from West Perth, very, very good as well.
I think it's Amos from East Perth.
Key
forward, saw him a couple of weeks ago. Very good overhead. I think he's from Busselton or Bunbury. Mm. Very good player, and he's going to be playing a lot of state footy this year. And look, there's going to be a good crop of players, I think, from WA, just to pinpoint what your club needs. That's the key.
All right, we're time for two more, then we'll get you guys out of here. Mark Fay, big deals with long contracts. How many have actually worked? I'm sick of and tired of seeing a player play well for 1 to 1.5 years and then get million-dollar contracts on multiple seasons. How often do they actually work? Franklin and Dusty are the only ones I can think of. Are they the exceptions to the rule? But Petrarca, Grundy and Josh Kelly have been throwing money. When has a club ever succeeded with the long-term after throwing the kitchen sink at one player? Rant over.
Alistair Lynch would be one.
Yeah, Alistair Lynch was a 10-year deal.
Yeah, so that was unusual given the merger with Brisbane.
He went from Fitzroy
to Brisbane. So that's one. But you're right. Look, and going back to the West Coast Eagles when they had, I think, 5-year deals thrown at Peter Sumich, Carl Langdon, and maybe one or two others, didn't really. And 5 years back then was a really long-term deal. And it still is, I guess, in many ways.
I think the standard was 3.
Yeah.
And there are a lot of rolling annual contracts as well. What's Tim Kelly's contract length? I think it's a long-termer.
It's certainly not in excess of 2 from here.
Well, Josh Kelly would be interesting because he'd been offered 8 years, I think, and 6 years, Josh Kelly. Only 6 because hasn't accepted it yet because there's a bit of interest in him. So this is Josh Kelly, GWS. So we'll be interested to see what he does.
Yeah, I'm just trying to think some of those GWS players that Toby Green.
Toby Green. I'd sign it. I think he's signed a reasonably long term, four or five.
And Cornelio? Right? I think he was
Cornelio is a long term contract. So. But I don't like the long term ones. Apart from, I see the merit in the Buddy.
I also see the merit in the Giants because they're trying to retain. And while other clubs, if they offer them two or three, Carlton, Collingwood come knocking with four or five, you're going to take that extra security, aren't you? That's where I feel sorry for the Giants. They have to almost, they're obligated almost to offer more than what is
Gold
the
Coast
norm.
Is probably in the same boat.
Absolutely.
Final one here, and we'll get to the rest of the pod questions on Tuesday next week, some very specific ones that will roll over. Hey guys, John from Perth here. Hoping you guys can help us out a discussion with mates. We recently sat down and drew up a best ever West Coast team. Whenever we have done this before, we've always had Sumich as a lock for full forward and Kennedy as a centre half forward. It was a good solution as the centre half forward spot was previously been very difficult to fill. This time, a strong case has been made for Kennedy as the prime full forward darling at centre half forward and Sumich unlucky to miss out. Nah. Taking a look at Darling's stats, they're pretty impressive. One mate in particular is adamant that he's justified at centre half forward as the best we've had in that position, so it's unfair to put Kennedy there. Then Kennedy has also had a better career, et cetera, et cetera. Do you guys see recency bias or what do you
I love Jack that? Darling. I think he's been a sensational player for West Coast, but he does not push Peter Sumich out of that forward line.
I think it's a gig in the side, though.
Yeah, he gets a gig in the side.
I think he's, well, mind you,
Josh Kennedy and Suma are picked before him, and I'm picking Suma first. And that's no slight. I love Josh Kennedy. He's a great, thoroughly deserves his spot there. But history, we forget how good they were.
But I would have probably played, if you're going back to their strengths, Sumich more a genuine full forward.
Oh, yeah.
Kennedy more could get up the ground and be that centre-half.
Well, the game has changed.
Yeah, exactly. So, but you have to have those two players as locks in your team of the century or team of best ever team for West Coast. Interesting with Darling. Trying to think, you think of guys like Brett Hedy and Chris Lewis. Do they go? I mean, just off the top of
John Worsfold.
No. Which are you forward line? Yeah, it's
Chris Lewis has to be in the side.
Yeah. So you think of some of those great forwards. I mean,
Brett Hedy, probably half forward or on a bench at least.
Yeah. So Lewis, you're going to be tight, but I think Darling would get a role, but not at centre half forward. I don't think. I think you'd go with Kennedy and then Sumer at full forward.
That's That's where we're going. Yeah, for sure.
Awesome. Thanks so much for the emails, guys. We'll get to those ones next week that we missed.
Well, thanks very much. And thank you to our sponsor, Tab Touch. And please gamble responsibly and call the Gamblers Helpline if you run into any difficulties. 1800 858 858. We look forward to talking with you on Tuesday when the great man Duff will be back to join Skeeter and I. Good luck with your tipping this weekend.
Enjoy the footy.
If you're a fan of the podcast, why don't you send a message to Josh's mailbag? Have you figured out how to fix footy? Are you trying to settle a debate with a mate? Or maybe you just want two of Australia's most experienced footy journalists to turn their attention to an AFL issue of the week. Send to the mailbag at josh.garlep, that's G-A-R-L-E-P-P, at wanews.com.au. And also remember to like, subscribe, and of course, tell your mates so we can make this as big and as good as possible. Thanks for listening.
This has been the Duff and Quarters podcast on the game.
You know who? It's unbelievable.